Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We'll get to a couple of stories along the lines of the election that is now come and gone 6 weeks ago. Also, Kamala Harris, her digital chief on how the Democrats lost hold of culture. And also, you know, we talked about the awful shooting in the first hour. It'll be interesting to see how the media kind of kicks Luigi and that story to the back burner in light of this school shooting. But one really twisted game that a couple of socialists are playing on TikTok in regards to this Luigi UnitedHealthcare CEO murder. Wait till you hear this story, courtesy of the New York Post. We'll give you that coming up after the news. Speaking of the news, let's get to it. Round number two. She's not welcomed on jury duty, but she's always welcomed here. Great Dawn Stensland.
Thank you, Nicholas. Or should I say Chuck?
Chuck. Yes, call me Chuck from now on, Dawn.
So we are sponsored in Chuck and Company News by Turn 7 Liquidations here at Kale and Company News Live. We are at 53 degrees in for a balmy, unusually warm day, 61 with a high today. So Philadelphia Mayor Sherelle Parker speaking out, vowing to use every, quote, constitutional tool available to fight crime and hold criminals accountable. The mayor spoke out passionately at yesterday's news conference, this after an unusual spike in shootings, with police saying at least 24 people were shot, 4 killed over the weekend in 11 different incidents, including the one that, of course, forced the shutdown of Christmas Village Friday. That one making national news. Hey, Philadelphia shuts down Christmas Village. But in that one, it left 3 teen boys hospitalized. And so Parker went through some of the stats referencing them, saying that, yes, we've seen, you know, a 36-37% in drop in homicides as well as shootings, but that's not good enough. Mm-hmm. So she did use the statistics showing that, yes, we have numbers that are improving. She said we're making some progress. It's just not enough, and this will not define us.
You know, we talked a lot about the national crime stats and how the FBI was trying to tell us one story, the Biden administration saying this. But the reality was we know that the numbers have been manipulated. Are you buying the fact that it's down 36-37% here in Philly?
I'm sure. I mean, I think it's down, but I liked the way that she talked about it, because oftentimes that's the end of the sentence, mm-hmm. that they're looking at a percentage of a stat. And what she's saying is, yes, we have some numbers that show some that we're doing going in the right direction here, but that it's not good enough, that these are people and they're focused in certain neighborhoods. And that's a problem, too. The report that's coming out, that came out later in the day and even into this morning, is that this stemmed from an argument that started at a local charter school. You know, these were 13 and 14 year olds, 15 year olds who were walking from school, walked over by that area where kids were having an argument, mm-hmm. and somebody pulls out a firearm, mm-hmm. and, you know, just starts shooting. Oh, yep. My goodness, you know.
Yep. Mm-hmm. My daughters, now there was no guns involved, but on Friday they got off the school bus and I was picking them up because it was really cold out. And there were 2 fights on the bus simultaneously, one of which there was one boy that was fighting 2 guys at the same time and then made the verbal threat that if it keeps up, I'm going to deal with you. And I believe my daughter said with a firearm was the quote. And I was like, I immediately told my wife. She immediately called the school. School bus driver was questioned about it. I believe the students that made the claims were, and these were probably no higher than 5th grade. I don't think there's any middle schoolers on the bus, so it's no more than 11 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
But the 11 different shootings, I mean, they were all over the city. Holmesburg, Oxford Circle, Pennypack Park, Logan. So they were all over, victims ranging from, you know, 13, 14 to 48 years old. But in the one that's getting the headlines, because it was like that was the headline nationwide Friday night and over the weekend. Hey, Philadelphia, they shut down Christmas Village because of a shooting. And so Sherelle, the mayor, was speaking out about that, you know, just when we're making this great comeback in the city, and people, you know, the lights were on. It's beautiful. I was serving jury duty yesterday. I mean, it's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so now people hesitant to go down. These are, you know, and in this one, it was very targeted, tragically, but yep. Two 14-year-olds and a 15-year-old were shot. And this was very targeted. I mean, one of the kids is in critical condition this morning, a 14-year-old shot in the face. Ugh. How do you shoot somebody? And this is another they don't have the shooter apparently in custody. So mm-hmm. over the weekend, they thought that 14-year-old boy who was arrested was the actual shooter, was involved, but not the shooter. So we still have a very active investigation going on.
It had a very Chicago-type feel for the weekend. Jeez. You always see the national news covering the crime in Chicago over the weekend, 40 people shot, so forth and so on. You're right. Last weekend did have that vibe.
Jiminy. So she's right. You know, it's tragic because we're a city where you think of the millions of people in and out of the city every day. And how many of us, even who work in the city, will not just take a stop, go shopping, go to a local restaurant mm-hmm. because of this kind of thing or because of reports of the crime.
And, you know, this is not to defend Sherrall Parker by any stretch, but the mayor is only like a third of the equation. You have a chief of police, you have a district attorney. You know, you'd like to think that all of them would be tough on crime, but Sherrall can say one thing, but if Larry Krasner does another thing, and then, of course, we know the way that the police have been neutered, you got to have everybody on the same playbook. And if you're not on the same playbook, you're not going to achieve your goal in getting crime to where you believe it should be the, quote, acceptable number.
Well, you know, and she, in her defense, I still will say that Mayor Parker inherited a hot mess from the previous administration. I think Commissioner Bethel, when you think of UPenn and how they just, whoosh, other Ivy League schools were burning and having arrests and violence, remember that over the mm-hmm. summer,
yep.
and they showed up early, they dealt with it and handled it.
Yep.
And the same with Kensington, cleaning up Kensington. I know it's an ongoing situation, but I'm just saying, I think as a city, I think a lot of city residents feel as if this administration has certainly had a lot to clean up and is doing so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, active progress report. Luigi Mangione in the headlines again because the accused killer of the UnitedHealthcare CEO, Brian Thompson, in the headlines again. It looks like this could happen this morning, that his new attorney, that they're waiving extradition from here in Pennsylvania to head to New York for processing. And like I say, we're watching that. It'll probably, you know, if it happens within the next few hours, but that's the word. He's still in state prison here in Pennsylvania on these charges. Apprehended, of course, famously at the McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania. That was December 9th. And after being on the run, he's accused of gunning down Thompson outside that Midtown Manhattan hotel. That happened on December 4th CEO headed to an investors conference, which was publicized.
We gave two updates yesterday. He apparently went missing filed a missing persons report on November 18th, which was 2 weeks before the shooting. And his mom hadn't spoken to him since July 1st.
Well, that was one of the things, because I reported part of that last week because San Francisco police were the ones, because she filed that missing persons report.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was going to Asia or something.
Yeah. He also went rogue with his friends. He stopped communicating with his friends for 90 days before he committed the shooting. Yeah.
Bad sign. So it was San Francisco police. They contacted NYPD.
Yep.
Who then they ended up contacting her. I can't even imagine as a parent, you know, any parent getting that call.
Yeah.
And you don't want to think it's your loved one or your kid, God forbid.
I can't wait until this scumbag's out of the news cycle.
It's horrible.
He's got like a cult-like
news.
Following. I've never seen anything like this. Our obsession with awful human beings, right? But, I mean, it's been going on forever. This is nothing new, right? We were all infatuated with the Unabomber and, you know, Ted Bundy. I mean, just go on down the list. You know, we glorify it. It becomes a Netflix documentary. Comes a 10-part series on FX.
We have the update this morning about the bandits who stole. I don't know if you talked about this yesterday. These five suspects are being sought in the theft from Dick's Sporting Goods. And this is police in South Jersey hoping the public is going to help identify these thieves who made off with at least $10,000 worth of goods from Dick's Sporting Goods. So this this is the one on Nixon Drive in the Eastgate Square Shopping Center. And so they were in the store when they learned of this crime, these guys making off with it. We often talk about the KOP crimes. This one happened in South Jersey. So they got away with North Face, Nike merchandise. I don't know if they got away with any jerseys like favorite Eagles jerseys or anything of that nature. They just gave the brand North Face and Nike.
That is called stupid.
Thank you, Merrill.
But what's interesting, they're saying this is not just shoplifting, it's organized crime.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that they're putting out here. So we'll continue to follow that story as far as if you were, you know, I don't know if that's your one of your shopping places and you wanted to, that was one of your holiday gifts that you were going to buy somebody.
Yeah, I've been known to frequent Dick's from time to time. Although, here's the thing. This is why you have to steal at Dick's. Nothing's ever on sale.
Yeah.
Not ever.
Well,
never a sale at Dick's ever.
I have the big gold Dick's.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Card.
Oh,
and if you have that,
card,
then you get the points.
The big gold Dick's.
Right. Card. Yeah.
And
Nick's been known to frequent Dick's.
Yes.
And then you get
big gold
a lot
Richards.
Off.
Yeah.
You do get your loyalty.
Yeah. Yep. And then you ever notice, like, you see the clearance rack at Dick's, and you're like, this stuff was never here at full price. I never saw this once. It's ugly. No wonder why it's on clearance. I'm not buying it.
How much do you get off with your big gold Dick's card?
I think they give you like $10 off a $100 purchase for a big Dick's.
Okay.
Yeah.
As much as $35. It's a sin. By the way, I know we'll have the drone updates that the feds are saying no national security risk.
And John Kirby was like, we are perfectly confident that that they're all legal and there's nothing to see. So
it's just a wang.
Guys, just don't worry about it. It's
nothing
fine. Nothing
go,
to see here.
Go do your holiday shopping.
Nothing.
Be distracted.
Nothing.
Scroll on your phone.
Yep.
Let the pros handle it. We got this.
Yep.
But, you know, when we think about Chinese restaurants during the holidays, an absolute favorite during the holidays, especially for those who do not celebrate Christmas, which is why it's particularly devastating word that a favorite restaurant in Philadelphia's Chinatown neighborhood is facing an indefinite closure due to some kind of an electrical hazard caused by excessive steam that is, happening in their basement.
It's Sankey. Right?
Peking Duck House.
Yeah.
And they're a staple in the neighborhood. Delicious. Henry Chow's parents own the restaurant. So family owned, family run for a long time. They're just devastated. So they're trying to figure out what is going on.
Who do you think's to blame?
It is the fault of the Wang.
Have we found a suspect?
Mr. Wang. No offense.
He's just a Wang.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's not appropriate.
Yeah, I had an amazing
How dare you?
Asian lamb bowl a couple of weeks ago. There's a place up in the Lehigh Valley. It was lamb, garlic, udon noodle.
Yum.
Oh, I had three helpings.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
It's a buffet.
It is a buffet. It's like $16.99.
Oh my God.
I ate like I had a date with the electric chair.
Yeah,
it was like the Last Supper.
I wouldn't want to have been your bathroom.
It was like an ad for Gaviscon.
Oh, God.
I love it. Well, they're working on infrastructure questions. L&I is involved. Philadelphia Water Department is involved. Everybody's, you know, trying to help out. So hopefully they get it back just in time. This is a tradition of ours. I mean, we love over the holidays especially, but this is a real favorite. So, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a bummer. So it's Sankey Peking Duck House. Make sure when they get it all back together, make sure you patronize them. Great place.
Have you ever had eel?
Yes.
Eel is tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Stocker, you ever
high
had
protein.
Eel?
I know
you're not a big animal lover as far as digesting them.
No, I've changed my tune on that. By the way,
yeah, that's right. You did. You ate the Whopper, and
no. I'm full on meat now. So
full on
meat.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe I've ever had a eel. No.
You ever have camel's hump?
No.
Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan in Rush Hour.
Yeah, I got you.
How's your camel's hump?
There's another reference that nobody understands, but thanks.
You got any hot sauce for this?
Let's get to our forecast. 52 degrees right now. We are cloudy. A little it's kind of spitting out there, but a lot of spinouts and accidents today and yesterday. We should see the sunshine today. An incredible afternoon. I hope you get out and enjoy it. 61 degrees for the high. What a treat today. 61. And then tomorrow, still warm, 53, but we have more rain in the forecast. And that brings us to the end of the week. We'll close out the week. Well, Thursday and Friday, we're in the 40s. So mid-40s with sunshine Thursday, Friday.
Can we focus Dawn's camera, please?
Oh,
yeah. She is a little blurry.
A little blurry?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Blurry.
Slightly blurred, like 10%.
It's kind of like the foggy weather out there, and you got the windshield wipers going.
Also, Dawn's live on location. Right?
Also, the banner backdrop behind her needs to be bigger. So,
yeah.
Can
we get
bigger,
on that, please?
Please. Yeah. The weekend is bone-chilling.
We have gold dicks and big banners.
And bone-chilling forecast for this weekend.
Yep.
The high for Saturday is only 36. For Sunday is 29. So after we get through Wednesday, sunny skies, but we turn much colder. And Sunday, the coldest day for sure, with just 29 degrees, the low 17 degrees. So we're so this up and down type forecast continues for us. That's why I say enjoy today, especially 61 and sunny. Tomorrow, 53, and then we start dropping. Hey, as I said earlier, we're sponsored by Turn 7 Liquidations. Below cost to the bare walls, Turn 7 Liquidations must vacate and liquidate immediately. Massive extra 50% off savings, plus just arrived toys. Uh-oh, Disney, Barbie, Marvel, Lego, values to $50 to $5. Turn 7 Closing Liquidations, Philadelphia Mills. Turn 7 Liquidations, thank you for sponsoring Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Just about 25 minutes out from a Tuesday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. But coming up next, Kamala Harris's deputy campaign manager, Rob Flaherty, said, you know what? Sports fans might have cost us the election. And speaking of that, do you think? No crap. And what do you think about this? Stephen A. Smith goes off on Democrats following the January 6th report about FBI informants. Wait till you hear this. It's Kale and Company. We're back after this.
We are down to the wire on our Italy trip. I just got the big memo from Ken Chase, Conservative Tours. They said, you know, you said last week that it's a Christmas gift to not only you and Larry, but to Michael and David, to the boys. We need to make sure that you are committing to that. But that's how far we are down to the wire. So yes, Michael and David are going. I hope they didn't take the last two spots, but we're literally down to the final spots on our tremendous Italia trip. So if you want to revisit with us and join me next spring on the Italian Riviera, you need to do this now. Yes, Lorenzo and Romina, they're going to be back with us. Conservative Tours has crafted an incredible itinerary once again that is sure to enchant us. This time, we go to Tuscany, the Riviera, the northern Italian lakes region, Cinque Terre, and dining events you'll write home about. $53.78. Yes, that includes your airfare, $53.78. Pisa, Michelangelo's Florence, the fashion capital of Milan. You better call now, toll free. This is 888-733-9494. You can go to conservativetours.com. Look at the full itinerary. You'll see my name, picture down there, conservativetours.com. Do this. Luxury hotels, a Mercedes coach, a tour leader who is, I can tell you, absolutely the best. Conservative Tours in Italy. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Charming Siena, home to Il Palio, the medieval Manhattan, San Gimignano, Medina, Lake Como, Vernazza. Join me next spring in Italy. See you in Portofino, conservativetours.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
The return of Kale and Company for 2025.
Woo!
And WWE on Netflix.
Oh, stop.
January 6th could go down as the biggest day of 2025. Just saying.
Yeah.
All right. And then, of course, we will have our buddy Sean Farish in on Friday for his appearance. I think Mary Walter will be with us on Friday. And then we'll be back together following the holiday on January 2nd. And then all of us together on Monday, January 6th. So let's get to this story with Kamala Harris and her deputy campaign manager. The name might ring a bell for those from, you know, the 112 days or whatever the actual Harris. Harris campaign was Deputy Campaign Manager Rob Flaherty, as he comes out and says that basically sports fans were the deciding factor in the election, and Democrats have lost control of not only sports, but they've lost control of the culture wars, which are two big factions and components of an electorate. So the campaign, according to an article from Semaphore, needed to introduce Harris quickly to people who aren't obsessed with politics, which is most people, by the way. Like, I know we live it, we breathe it, you consume it, we talk about it. But as you know, you like, remember we were, you go back to the June 27th debate in Atlanta, and we were wondering after Biden's disaster, we're like, yeah, I know we were consuming it and Trump dominated it, but it's the end of June, a lot of people on vacation. How many people really saw it? We looked at ratings, we compared it to debates of the past. So this campaign manager was of the belief that sports, and I believe he's accurate when he says this, is perhaps America's last remaining monoculture. And Flaherty and the Harris team decided when they were putting this campaign together to book her on sports shows and podcasts. As we know, Donald Trump resonates with sports fans. Donald Trump was on all the big podcasts, including Joe Rogan. Kamala Harris had turned that down. But one by one, the biggest personalities and shows politely turned down the Harris campaign. Here's a couple of quotes from Flaherty, who's a younger guy, by the way. He's 33. He says sports and culture have sort of merged together. And as sports and culture became more publicly and sort of natively associated with this Trump conservative set of values, it got more complicated for athletes to come out in favor of us. It got more complicated for sports personalities to take on their shows because they didn't want to, quote, do politics. That's not to say that Steph Curry and Steve Kerr and LeBron James and all them coming out wasn't impactful or important, but it was more impactful because it had gotten so much harder. But certainly the culture that has been associated with heavy sports watching has become associated with right-wing culture in a way that makes it harder for us to reach these people. He went on to say that Harris was turned down by many, but didn't specifically say which shows or podcasts turned down Kamala Harris. But you could probably arrive at the conclusion they mentioned some shows like Colin Cowherd, Bill Simmons, or the Kelce brothers. And then he goes on to say how the campaign's failure to completely crack the sports fear was, to Flaherty, ominous, but it put a larger trend in which influencers who had felt comfortable in the past engaging with the Biden White House decided not to with the Harris campaign because it's not cool to talk about politics and you're kind of afraid of alienating an audience. So I want people to think about this for a second. I would argue that most athletes, most coaches in any of the alpha-dominated sports, football, baseball, basketball, are center to center right. Now, there are certainly some that are center to center left. But I think a lot of the social and political messaging that we have seen for 8 years in sports is largely driven to appease an audience that doesn't exist. And we don't see much of it anymore. You still see some of it in the NBA and a little bit in the NFL, like the back of the end zone, the back of the helmets, end racism, stop hate, embrace all, be love. But I was watching those two god-awful Monday Night Football games last night, and there are a lot of players that no longer have the social justice or political messaging on the back of their helmet. They just have like the word Bears or Falcons or any of the bad teams that were playing last night. I think that has really dried up and washed up. And I know we see a lot of times in the combat sports done, like with UFC, a lot of the youth are Joe Rogan fans. They're Trump fans. They are center right. But that's really remarkable that the Harris campaign and one of the top managers is coming out and saying, we blew it with the casual political observer that enjoys sports, enjoys social, enjoys cultural, and we don't resonate with the, and the larger picture here is, I think, Democrats, this rendition, not the old school Democrat, not the old school Bill Maher liberal, today's reiteration or iteration of the Democrat Party does not identify with the bulk of Americans. And I think that's really why they lost the election. And I'm not sure how they get it back. And remember, I said this about 2 weeks ago. Name me a Democrat that you would that you think could be president in 2028. You know, you hear J.B. Pritzker, you hear Josh Shapiro, you hear Mayor Pete. Name me a Democrat that you would like to sit down with that has a national profile and have a beer and eat a burger and watch a football game with. I can't name one. Maybe Fetterman.
I think Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear will be at the end of the day. I think he's the guy.
Could very well be.
That would be. I mean, and obviously Josh Shapiro is someone that he's a known name, but if you believe those stories that in fact the Obamas were kind of vetting and wanted some kind of a process. They wanted Biden to drop out, and then they wanted a process, and they were put, you know, they were in the corner of Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if you believe the reports, Joe Biden then said, well, it's my vice president, Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Whether he wanted to give the shiv to those who were throwing him under the bus,
mm-hmm.
whatever you want to believe there. But I think that it'll be Governor Beshear.
And then you look at it from the standpoint of things beyond sports and social issues and cultural issues. Let's get down to the big story from last week. We talked about it. That report that came out that said, you know, the way the spin was put on it. And we covered it from the way like Axios was covering it versus Fox News. Fox News said, you know, there was 26, I believe the way they coined it, paid informants. Axios was like, yeah, there was no FBI undercover agents. That was a right-wing conspiracy theory. Bottom line is the FBI had people there for a reason. And it was
by the dozens.
By the dozens, right? So Stephen A. Smith on his YouTube show, where he goes outside of sports and gets into politics and social and cultural issues, absolutely roasted the Democrats for all of the lies pertaining to January 6th. This is cut 7, Sean. I want to play this for you. It's a little over 2 minutes long. I also think this played into a lot of what we have seen and also what will continue to hamstring Democrats in the future. Because, again, Republicans have been right about a lot of these so-called conspiracy theories in the last 4 years. Here's Stephen A. Smith on January 6th.
The news comes amidst a bombshell report from the Justice Department that revealed the FBI had at least 26 confidential informants on the ground when the Capitol was stormed on January 6th, 2021. The report says most of the informants engaged in illegal activity during the chaos. The Justice Department says only 3 of its 26 informants present had been instructed to observe potential domestic terrorist suspects on the day of the riot. The rest of the 23 appeared to have gone to the Capitol on their own accord. Upon hearing news of the report, Vice President-elect J.D. Vance posted the following on X, quote, "For those keeping score at home, this was labeled a dangerous conspiracy theory months ago," end quote. Didn't hear anything about that for the election. Didn't hear anything about that when the quote-unquote insurrection was broached by Vice President Kamala Harris as the Democratic nominee, the belief that Donald Trump was a danger to democracy and using this as a profound, illuminating bullet point to make that case. And now here we are yet again finding even more evidence to Donald Trump's claims when he articulated that the process is rigged. My big issue is that I'm really, really sick and tired of every time I turn around finding something else that the Democrats have lied about or downplayed or misrepresented along the way. I mean, I see Republicans like Megyn Kelly or Officer Tatum or Candace Owens or, you know, the Sean Hannitys of the world. You know what I'm getting tired of? To the Democratic Party. You know what I'm getting really pissed off about? I'm getting really ticked off at every time they open their mouth about something pertaining to y'all, they seem right to make the case that the right had a monopoly on insidious, evil tendencies, corrupt tendencies, duplicitous hypocritical, untruthful tendencies. And every time they made those accusations, we turn around and find, I don't know about y'all, but I'm sick of all of it. I'm sick of all of it. They've actually made Donald Trump look like he was right instead of them.
Interesting, strong commentary from Stephen A. Smith there on January 6th. And I think the takeaway from that, there's two things. One, this is one of those inflection points and moments for the Democrats, because the more you hear people with big platforms that historically vote Democrat speaking out like that, the more you realize that that party right now is in complete disarray. They have an identity crisis. They have a messaging issue. They have a candidate issue. They have a policy issue. And right now, I don't think they have a solution in sight. And you could say, well, they got time. It's 4 years. The reality is it works both ways. Trump doesn't have 4 years either. Trump's got 2 years. You know, before you know it, the 2026 primaries will be here. The truth is you have about 18 months to get things accomplished as a Republican. And for a Democrat, you have about 18 months to figure out what the future of your party looks like. And I thought that was great because Stephen A. Smith is, he claims to have voted Republican before in the past. Here's my one criticism of people like Stephen A. Smith on the left with big platforms that are always, especially, who was the guy, and I always forget his name, in New York. He said voting for Trump was on the table. Oh God, he was a comedian.
Rappaport.
My biggest thing is, how about you come out and actually say you voted for Trump, or you will vote for Trump or Vance or whoever in the future in 2028? My only complaint with Stephen A. Smith is, and here's where I think he's a bit of a fraud, he either votes Republican and doesn't say it publicly, or he continues to put on this facade of crushing the Democrats, but yet he'll keep on voting for Democrats. And I don't think he'll ever come out and say, I voted for Trump, or in 2028, I'm going to vote for J.D. Vance, because he's afraid of alienating the bulk of his audience on ESPN. And that, to me, kind of makes you a bit of a fraud. But I thought it was interesting that he came out that strong on January 6th of all subjects.
I don't like all of these people who are like these Johnny-come-latelys to this. And that's my biggest problem with this. Is like, yeah, you could say that, you know, they saw, quote-unquote, the light or whatever like that. But I don't believe that. I think that Stephen A. Smith and these guys are just trying to stay relevant because they realize that the message and all the stuff that they were pushing before didn't work and didn't resonate, or at least with what they perceive as an audience they're trying to get. So now all of a sudden they're backtracking, and now all of a sudden they're saying, well, you know, they're kind of right on some things, and so they're kind of right on this. Yeah. I just don't believe it.
Tuesday. He says it's Tuesday. You're not giving him credit for admitting it's Tuesday, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just saying that, like, I just think that it's more opportunism to stay in the public eye, and to, you know, have viewers, listeners, whatever platform that's on, say, interesting. Yeah. Stephen A. Smith is kind of right on this. Let's give him a try. I don't buy it.
It's interesting because, Dawn, I would argue then, if you have people like this with the biggest platform in the world coming out and saying all of the things that we said were true in 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024, where do the Democrats go? Because if they can't sell you on fear, if the legacy media is drying up and self-admitted, I played a clip yesterday in the Big Take. I mean, it was Leslie Stahl and Peggy Noonan admitting legacy media is dying. Van Jones is saying Trump's the smartest guy on the planet right now. Where do they go from here? Because if their ecosphere of media dries up, who's going to buy the narrative that nobody's believing? It's like an audience of one right now. They're like in a little echo chamber to themselves of 7% of society.
Oh, just look at the media headlines. The same old characters, they'll still hack at it every single day. And it's just annoying to me.
Oh, yeah.
What's this one? This one, CNN fact checker flags the most dangerous part of Donald Trump's first news conference post-election.
Which is coming up in the cut sheet.
You know what I mean? Yep. It's just like, there's a lot of lying from the president-elect. He's a liar. I mean, we still have all that stuff going.
Yeah.
So, we have the biggest... You talked about the media, and you talked about Joe Rogan the other day and how people... So we have different factions watching their own media. If there's any one person who ends up bringing people together, whether it's sports, whether it's a Joe Rogan kind of a personality, that's a good thing. Because right now, anybody who is pro-Trump, you know, watches what and hears what they want to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not that we do that, because I think we bring up the pros and the cons of what everybody's saying. And so that, I think, makes us unique. But if you watch a lot of the different sites, they only are spoon-feeding, you know, what people
sure.
want to hear on the left and on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And so the problem then is people never come together. You know, and part of this is a real problem with the media.
Well, I just look at it from three different angles. You have, obviously, the Roe v. Wade thing. That did not pan out the way I thought to come back and bite Trump in the butt. So if that didn't work to derail Trump, now maybe it's just a Trump thing, because we know there's a difference in Trump versus other Republican politicians. But if that didn't work, the media is drying up from the mainstream media standpoint, the legacy media standpoint, and alternative sources are now the go-to for a big bulk of this country moving forward, and the Obama effect. If Obama's message didn't land, maybe we've reached a point now here, 16 years since Obama first took office, that he's no longer the Lord and Savior of the Democrat Party descending upon from the heavens and saying, hey, George Clooney, I need you to write this in the New York Times. We need to win this election. If that doesn't work, you sit there and you say, what do you have and what's the direction of their party moving forward? That's the question that they have to answer. So that's the way I view it. 855-839-1210. The phone number. We'll come back. We'll get to the cut sheet, which includes a lot of comments from Donald Trump on a litany of discussion points, including drones. Yes, drones. We'll talk about it as we continue the cut sheet coming up next on Kale and Company. But first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group, where I just recently drove the 2025 Hyundai Tucson. What a cool vehicle this is. It's the brand's most popular SUV. Bold new design with plenty of cargo space, while its standard all-wheel drive and great gas mileage keeps you prepared for any of life's adventures. It also protects you and your family with a best-in-class safety rating. You can visit Piazza Hyundai of Pottstown. That's where I went, right off of Route 422. Or Piazza Hyundai of Westchester on Route 202. Online anytime at PiazzaHyundai.com. And tell them that Nick Kale sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet?
Looking for our stream here. Where's our stream?
Oh, we get flagged?
Are we having problems with the stream?
No. No.
All right. Make sure you're liking the YouTube page, by the way. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. It was hard for me to find today's show.
We got yanked down yesterday, by the way.
We did, yeah. Well, I knew we would, because we played SNL.
God, I hate NBC. For many reasons.
So, if you're watching right now, please hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button if you're watching, because I believe that that they're throttling us this morning. So, thank you for that. By the way, what's in the cut sheet? 8 o'clock, brought to you by Jerry Hill Volvo. Right now, lease an all-wheel drive XC90 for as low as $687 per month using all applicable rebates. See store for details. Relationships really do matter at Jerry Hill Volvo. Check them out over 70 Cherry Hill. Jerry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. See, there is a method to our madness here. It may just sound like all fun and frivolity in games, but we actually kind of know what we're doing. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. All right, let's start with Cut 25 here. I want to start with the drone stuff, because the drone stuff is still in the news, and we still have no more answers. We still have, you know, and somebody said it the other day that the more they don't tell us what's happening, the more the vacuum is filled by people who really don't, you know, don't really have information but are speculating.
Sure.
And that to get online. We're going to play some of that in just a minute.
Ooh,
but
wait.
John Kirby was on with Brett Baer last night, and he says, look, after extensive assessment of the drones, he can confidently say the drones are totally legal, lawful, and perfectly normal.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing to see here, folks.
Okay, then tell us what they are then.
Nothing to see here. Sean, my friend, roll it. Uh-oh. What's happening?
A lot of coverage. Where are you tonight on this?
As we look at the information we've got, Brett, and we've now examined some 5,000 different sightings, we've added detection capabilities, additional observers. As you and I stand here today, to date, our assessment is that this is lawful, legal, commercial, hobbyist, and even law enforcement aircraft activity. Some of it's manned. Some of it's unmanned. We absolutely acknowledge that a lot of these are probably drones, but they're flying legally. And it is legal to fly drones in non-restricted airspace as long as you're registered with the FAA. And there's thousands and thousands of these kinds of flights every single day. I think there's more than a million drones that are registered with the FAA just in the United States alone.
So, okay, let's look at what we're going to have here. We have a cluttered airspace, right? So we have, according to, we'll use John Kirby's words.
Yep.
We have legal ones, we have commercial ones, we have hobby ones. So we've got a bunch of space traffic, right? And you know what I think the government likes about this?
Mm.
Is that we don't have a damn clue as to whether or not it could be the gut. And this is moving forward. So when I go out on my deck and I say, boy, there's 14 drones. I wonder, I sit there and I go, well, I don't know if that's Walmart. I don't know if that's China. I don't know if that's the government spying on us. I don't know if that's the government sniffing out threats from foreign adversaries. We don't know. And that's what will continue this hysteria. I mean, are we going to have to get to the point where legislation is passed, assuming we move past the government is doing something that they don't want us to know about, which I believe is the case, where we're going to have to curtail the hobbyists with drones? Is that coming down the road here where it's going to be banned, it's going to be against the law to fly one as a citizen? Is that where we're headed in the next 1 to 5 years? I don't know.
I mean, what I question is why then we have Governor Phil Murphy questioning things. We have Governor Shapiro. Didn't he just say over the weekend or yesterday he has instructed Pennsylvania State Police? They're investigating. And so they're quoting the federal partners that claim they pose no risk to personal safety or national security. But even Shapiro said, as the old saying goes, trust but verify. So you have governors and state officials and state-level lawmakers. Then you have, like, we played Van Drew last week from New Jersey. So you have them from all different layers saying, tell us something. What it tells me, I'm relieved, because I think that if the government officials are saying this, it's them.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And somebody else over the weekend had a good point. It might have been one of the kids who said, if they were really spies, or if it was, you know, if this was the Iranian mothership or whatever, why do they have their lights on?
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, it's, mm-hmm. it's the government.
Well, yeah, they're saying because they're obeying all, like, FAA rules by flying at a certain altitude and having lights on and everything like that, that if it was really just, we're going to get to that in a second, because there's an expert that weighs in on what he thinks it is.
Mm-hmm.
Santa.
But that's what we need. It's Santa Claus.
Thank you.
Trying out some new his elves are trying out some new technology. Yeah.
He's got a lot of chimneys to hit this year, folks. my reports indicate kids were very good this year.
It ain't easy getting around the entire world in one night.
No, it's not. Last thing on the federal front. So you don't believe, and I threw this out yesterday, you don't think the federal government has told these state governors the truth and then told them, spin it, get out there and just give them lip service?
No, because they're all big mouths.
Okay.
So I think it's some secret, biggity-big, whatever.
So you think state governors are in the dark about this,
mm-hmm.
and the feds know what it is. It's them, and they're just not saying.
Yep. Well, Trump has a theory. He said this yesterday. This is cut eight, Sean. He believes that the federal government knows exactly what's happening mm-hmm. with the drones. Roll it.
Comment on the drones that are flying around New Jersey ports. And it seems like the American people have a big disc.
The government knows what is happening.
Oh, boy.
He gets briefed.
Our military knows where they took off from. If it's a garage, they can go right into that garage. They know where it came from and where it went. And for some reason, they don't want to comment. And I think they'd be better off saying what it is. Our military knows and our president knows. And for some reason, they want to keep people in suspense. I can't imagine it's the enemy, because if it was the enemy, they'd blast it out. Even if they were late, they'd blast it.
Like spy balloons.
Something strange is going on. For some reason, they don't want to tell the people. And they should, because the people are really, I mean, they happen to be over Bedminster. They're very close to Bedminster. I think maybe I won't spend the weekend in Bedminster. I've decided to cancel my trip.
Have you received an intelligence briefing on the drones?
I don't want to comment on that.
So he has been briefed, yes, as Dawn said, and he just kind of basically admitted there by saying no comment on that. Mm-hmm. And I said for the last couple of days, I said, I guarantee you Trump knows exactly what this is. And he's not going to say it. Just like I think he's been briefed on what's in Area 51. And there's things in, and I said this yesterday, Trump's got a big mouth, but he's not going to open up his mouth on certain very sensitive issues.
Can I just say something?
Just Trump acknowledging that, he clearly has been briefed. He gets the same briefing the president does.
Yeah.
So just him saying that, I was like, okay. I'm done with it. Yep. You know what it is. And it's not a threat. I'm good.
Notice how he said about, you know, this administration knows and this president knows. So he puts the onus on them of being secret. But that expires shortly, because in 33 days, it's Trump's secret.
Hey,
and if they're still flying around, then I'm going to be, because I try to be consistent. Well, then I want to know what it is, Trump.
Hey. Hang on a second, Dawn. If it's our federal government or if it's our government, you're okay with it?
Well, I really thought when Van Drew came out and said it was a mothership, and then there was that report, and I know we talked about this last week, that they were showing satellite images of an Iranian ship that was recrafted to be a drone launcher, and they showed it parked there in the Middle East or whatever, and now it's gone.
Yeah.
And I was like, OMG, this is a future terror attack. I was freaked out. I was having nightmares last week.
Oh, nightmares. Wow.
And then, I know. And then, so when Trump came out and said that, then I thought, okay, this is not a threat. So as far as, should we be bothered that they're doing something that maybe, I don't know, takes away our freedoms? Maybe that's a whole different, you know, thing.
Well, what worries you more? The fact that they might be doing surveillance on us, or that they're tracking something that could be a harm or a threat to us from a foreign opponent?
Because
it's one of those two. If it's our government, those are the only two logical conclusions from a motive, right?
Right, but the thing that I worried about was that they claimed it initially that they didn't know what this was. I want them to just come out and say, we know what this is. We can't say right now. We will give you, need to know basis. Mm-hmm. We will give you the information, but we're telling you there is not a threat, a physical, threat from a foreign entity. I wish they would just come out and say,
are they tracking terrorists?
Well, here's a theory. Okay. So this was sent to me by a listener, Nick, I believe his name was. Good name, right?
Yeah. Until he changes his name to Chuck.
This made the rounds, I think, yesterday. This is John Ferguson. He's the CEO of Saxon Unmanned. It's a Kansas-based company specializing in unmanned and autonomous remote system technologies. He shared his thoughts on and his insights on what this might be. He suggests that these drones may be engaged in detecting hazardous materials such as radioactive substances, possibly in search of a missing nuclear warhead, allegedly from Ukraine.
Oh, great. Awesome. So we give Zelensky all that money, and now we've got a missing nuke that might be buried somewhere in the tri-state area?
So this is just a little bit of his explanation for why he believes this.
There's no reason for a drone to be flying at night, really, okay? Because they don't see So, unless you have thermal optics, drones really don't see stuff. You need to do mapping during the day. If you're going to do farming stuff, mostly do it during the day. The only reason why you would ever fly an aircraft, an unmanned aircraft, at night is if you're looking for something, whether it be a person or trying to smell gas. We have methane gas detection systems that can detect gas leaks and pipelines. You really wouldn't use thermal optics for trying to find gas leaks, just simply because The only way you're actually going to find a gas leak with thermal optics is if the gas leak is aggressive enough that it has a difference in temperature. Because thermal imaging, it creates a digital image based off of the temperature variance. So whatever is different in temperature, it creates an image. Usually gas leaks so slow that it goes quickly into ambient before you can even see it. So we have special sensors that can detect gas leaks. We also have special sensors that can detect radioactive material. So with this gentleman that I had spoken with, who was trying to raise the alarm to try to get somebody in the government to say, hey, we need to work together to go try to find this nuclear warhead, none of that ever happened. They knew that warhead was on its way to the United States. That's all that ever came of it. Nothing ever happened. This government did not do anything at all to help this gentleman raise the alarm and raise awareness that there is a very deadly weapon on its way to the United States. It's out there. Nobody knows where it's at now. It left Europe. Now it's gone.
Cool.
So my guess,
case of the
my
missing
only guess,
nuke.
Is that these drones are not nefarious in intent. If they are, they are. But I doubt it. But if they are drones, the only reason why they would be flying and flying that low is because they're trying to smell something on the ground.
There you go.
All right, so I'm going to just pick apart what he said there because he contradicts himself. He's saying they're looking for something. But earlier in the clip, he says, you usually do it during the day because the drones, can only see when it's light out. So he contradicts himself there.
No, he's saying see. They could see it during the day, but in the night they could smell it or detect.
So what, you can only smell something at night versus day?
You don't have to do it dayside is what he's saying. What he's saying is there's this rogue nuclear warhead, yeah. And I infer from him that he's saying it's being used for, in some lab that they're testing, not by a terrorist necessarily, but because somebody is testing something and creating something and doing something illegal for money or whatever to test something and create something, but that you could detect it at night without having to, quote unquote, see it.
So let's ask the question, how does a nuke leave a European nation, travel across the sea, land in the United States, and nobody picked up on it? But this guy knows about this, or his source is telling him that. I find that to be very far-fetched. I dismiss everything that guy just said.
No, really? I mean,
yeah. Wow.
I don't. With it, we had how many?
Let's I was see. Also told there was WMDs in Iraq.
Well, let's see. We had
fair cap.
We know at least 8 million people come into this country that we know of illegally, and some estimate that that number could be inflated to as much as nearly 20 million over the past 4 years.
Sure.
So the question is, if you want to do something, let's just say it's not a terrorist, because God forbid, that would be, that's a whole other scenario. But let's say you want to do lab work and do something with a nuclear warhead or that kind of technology in a testing lab. How do you sneak it in? And so if it leaves Europe, and that's what he's saying, they know something is missing from a lab in Europe, where is it? And so how do you sneak it in? Well, why not just use these wide open borders, both the northern and the southern, to sneak a little something in?
Yep. No. Good point.
But again, guys, the longer our government goes without telling us telling us everything is hunky-dory, everything is fine, the more stuff like this, if this isn't true, fine. But then the government needs to come out and say, this is what it is or this is what we believe it is, because then stuff like this won't seep through.
To me, the biggest concern for me, the biggest fear, is that these drones start to disappear, the story dies down, and everything just goes off the back burner.
Road Warrior, we can get kilos of coke into the country, but not a nuke.
So supposedly...
He's right.
So he thinks there could be a nuke here.
Well, it could be anything.
You could. I mean, they're doing human trafficking. Yes, you could sneak anything into this country. You can walk it in.
Truckloads of people.
There could be a giant truck with a warhead on the back, and they were like, "Come on in, guys. No problem."
Yeah, and we're on the precipice of World War III. And we've heard the concepts of nukes in the last couple of years. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not going to rule anything out. I just, this seems to be a little too good to be. This sounds like a movie script.
Well, speaking of a movie script, so somebody told me there's a new Julia Roberts, Ethan Hawke apocalyptic thriller that's just out. And the premise is about, I guess, drones. That's how it starts with, what are all these drones? And then they sort of, they just make people crazy with all these conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the background of the movie, I guess.
I mean, I kind of go back to the theory that, Stalker, you laid out that, you know, the days of, like it happened multiple times, but the days of flying a plane into a building or a bomb. You know, with the advancements in technology, like, you know, if we're going to invade another country or if we're going to be on the receiving end of an attack, it's going to come through these new waves, this, you know, yes. AI, cyber technology,
100%.
Crashing the grid, but, drones, yeah. You know.
But Dawn is correct, or Dawn's boys are correct, or whoever said it, that if it was like Iran or China trying to do something nefarious, they wouldn't obey FAA rules.
They would just,
you know what I mean?
No regard for any of them.
And have lights on. Why would they do that?
Exactly. That being said, I think that what this guy is saying could be plausible. But
I think it's as plausible as Van Drew's theory of the missing Iranian mothership.
Jeez.
Come on, Jeff.
Like that freaked me out when he said that.
And again, it was from a source that gave
maybe
that,
maybe we should stop taking Jeff Van Drew seriously.
I mean, well,
host on this radio station.
His suit game is pretty impressive.
So let's do another, since we're down this deep dive rabbit hole, since the government won't tell us what it is, we're going to keep doing this.
Yes, we're left to speculate.
This is Michael B. He's the CEO of Terror Talk Productions. He said his drone spun out and lost power, and the battery died when he tried to approach a mystery drone flying in a restricted zone in New Jersey last week. So his drone, he flew up his drone.
Yep.
As it got close to
these Duracells died.
Mysterious drones, it lost power.
That's right.
They
didn't have the Energizer Bunny with them.
This is Cut 18, Sean. This was on Alex Witt's program on MSNBC. Roll it.
We have more video that you sent us of you, in fact, trying to launch a drone, and it was right near an airport. So tell us what happened there and why it's so noteworthy.
Okay, so we got reports last night that there was a lot of drone activity in the East Hanover area, which is backs up to Morristown Airport and all that vicinity. So we head out there. We set up in a parking lot about a quarter mile away from the airport, and I'm trying to get flight clearance to take the drone up and see what this other drone is, and I cannot restrict it. I tried to bypass it. At one point, it even asked for my phone number, and I said, now I think we're good at this point.
Okay, now hang on. When you say looking for flight clearance, how does that work?
What's your number, baby?
I mean, are you literally talking with a control tower, or what are you doing?
So there's an app that you use to connect to the drone. When it's time, when you want to fly, you press a button, and what it does is it looks for flight clearance or restrictions.
Yeah.
And what happened was there was a restriction in that area, and I couldn't get up, but there were drones in the air that weren't following the restriction. Now, we verify everything above us with flight radar, so we can tell if it's an airplane or if it's not. None of the things that we go after are on flight radar.
Okay. So what we're looking at, this device notwithstanding, this control for your drone, if drones are getting into areas without clearance by the FAA, is it possible they figured out some kind of a technology to keep their drones from being jammed and or losing power?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know if you're aware, last week or so, 2 weeks when this started, I tried to take my drone over Picatinny Arsenal to follow a drone that was just hovering over there. And as I got closer, my drone lost power, spun out, and the battery died and it went down. But the other drone remained sitting in the air, unaffected.
Why? What do you think?
No. Secrets that the government don't want us to know, and they're playing stupid. Either that or alien.
Oh, come on.
All right, there he is, the host of Terror Talk. He's also the CEO.
He was joking when he said that, by the way.
I know.
Yes. But, I mean, yeah, to me, it is the government. And if it asked me for the phone number and I was flying the drone, I would have entered 867-5309, but that's just me.
My question for both of you guys is that if – so you're more comforted knowing that it's the government?
I'm not uncomfortable at all, to be honest. It doesn't.
What?
This doesn't faze me one way or the other. I have not spent a whole lot of my time thinking about
the
drones,
the both of you.
Going outside at night and looking up and pondering what that could be. I told you, I mean, I saw one over my house last week or 10 days ago when I was taking the dog out at night, and I thought it was interesting. But I mean, I already feel like it's the government. So until I'm proven right or wrong, that's kind of my position on it. I don't think it's China. I don't think it's Iran.
Then they're lying to us because the government officials are saying, not us.
Mm-hmm. And but I would love to have answers, but what am I going to do?
Well, what?
Am I going to lose sleep over it?
What I said was, I'm not losing sleep over it anymore because they're saying this is not like a terrorist threat or something imminent.
After everything this government has done or been accused of doing the last four years... What anybody, or the fact that
weaponization of government,
you know,
rounding up Americans and patriots and putting them, holding them as like basically political hostages.
Yeah.
None of that surprises
me. So this falls right in line. No doubt.
Now, I'm shocked by you two, by the way. This is,
I'm going to be consistent. I'll be mad. Yeah. Like, am I a little mad that they won't say yes, but am I surprised? No. They just lie to our face and insult our intelligence. But then the same thing applies to Trump. Like, I just because it's Biden now, if Trump gives me lip service, I'm going to call Trump out on January 22nd.
But don't you think that what you played, what he's saying to these individuals, because he's getting the briefings, he knows what's going on.
Correct.
And so what he's saying to them is, okay, it's not, I understand you're, you know, I'm calling people out, but mm-hmm. I'm not saying what you're briefing me, but I'm telling you, January 20th, you better have this little program of yours, have it together.
Because
we're not going to let people. So when I say to you, Greg, like you're asking the question, I am confident that January 20th, by then, we will know. Because they're going to tell us, because mm-hmm. they know that Trump has said to them, this is your deadline. Don't do this to people. People are genuinely scared.
Trump came out and said, by the time I'm back in office, those hostages in Gaza better be freed or there's hell to pay.
Yep.
I'd like to see him say the same thing about the drones.
Patty C. writes, Greg, you're surprised the government will lie to you. I'm not surprised the government will lie to you. I'm surprised that these two don't find comfort in knowing that it's the government.
Well,
I just assume that I'm being spied on all the time.
But I'm also,
I really do.
Which you should. But, but I'm also comforted because of what happens January 20th. That I think there's a small window here of, you know, not knowing this. But I think we will know by then.
Okay. If I had to guess what it is, as far as specifically knowing it's under the pretext of this is our government. Could it be them spying on us? Yes. Could it be this nuclear thing? I think that's a long shot, but possible. I think it's more of a terrorist surveillance. Remember, to the point what Dawn made about the borders being open, all kinds of things come through the border. Fentanyl, possibly nuclear weapons, certainly terrorists. Remember how many times we saw clips of Bill Malusian talking to people at the southern border that were not coming from South American nations, but they were coming from the Middle East. Remember? Jordan, Turkey. I could see these drones being used to surveil terror cells, sleeper cells. And where do a lot of these terrorists end up for some reason in the last 23 years? The New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania area.
Yeah.
I know. Right? Everything happens here.
So I think that's a distinct possibility.
I just searched Edward Snowden.
Yeah.
Remember him? It just popped into my head.
Just popped in there, Ray? It was a Stay Puft commercial.
So Edward Snowden, you know, the headlines that he deserves a pardon or will the Trump administration give him a new lease on life, some of the headlines. But remember, it was Edward Snowden, whether you think he was right, wrong, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one who said there's secret, wide-ranging information gathering programs.
Mm-hmm.
So is this just an extension of what they've been doing, by the way, since, you know, back then? I mean, when was that? 2013 is when he did that reveal.
Mm-hmm.
So
here's a question,
new.
Too. And I see Bill. I'm going to take this call on drones because he's got an interesting point in a moment. But we're hearing of these stories of, you know, the batteries and they're electronic. Are any of the, because I don't know, can you fly a drone that's gas powered or are they all battery powered?
Are they solar powered?
Well, yeah, that's I mean, because I think, you know, we talk about how quiet they are and they're very stealthy. I would imagine that they would be a lot louder if they were gas powered, if they have a gas power. I don't know. I mean, it's a legit question. I guess I could look it up. But if anybody knows all those specifics, that's the other thing, too. With these drones, do either of you have a desire to buy a drone yourself and fly it, like, as a hobby?
We have them.
You have them?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Like, what, cheap ones, right? Like,
they're pretty good.
Couple hundred bucks? Or less than that, maybe.
No, they were, I think one of them was pretty expensive.
Bruno got one for, like, $3.
Yeah, one of my closest friends has one, and we went on a ski trip up in the Poconos a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we were flying it over the Pocono Mountains. It was great.
Was it?
Cool.
It's awesome to see.
So you got the remote and, like, with, like, a little screen, and you're, like, are you visually monitoring, like, so you can navigate through?
Yep, it's awesome.
Really?
It's awesome. I actually talked to him over the weekend, and he's like, I set it up looking for drones.
That's so cool.
Since this whole thing has been going on. But
all right.
Drones can be powered by batteries, gasoline, hybrid jet engines, hydrogen fuel cells, or solar power.
Okay. Well, there you go. Covers all the different sources of energy. Bill is in Montgomery County, and he's got a point to make about something that happened 23 years ago. Hello, Bill.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah. This goes back to after 9/11, when I was on the military side of things. Right after 9/11 occurred, we got unvarnished intelligence that two nuclear weapons, two 10-kiloton nukes, had been smuggled across the Canadian border. And we started planning accordingly in the New York City area where my military unit was. And, of course, that got the pucker factor going up, you know, way high. Ironically, I found out that it was false information months later in Time magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we got the intelligence initially, you know, we never got the word that, you know, that it was false. And I have to read about it in the open press. You know, my point is, you know, had we had drones at the time, I'm sure we would have had drones up in the air looking for them, you know, with a report like that. And I just wanted to add, to give some, you know, credit to all this, is that a friend in the U.K. is saying that U.S. air bases in the U.K. and RAF bases, they've seen drone sightings. So if there is a nuke coming out of Ukraine, you would think it could have been smuggled into the U.K., and that might explain the activity around U.S. air bases in the U.K. You know, now it's hitting the continental U.S.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, how we had drones back after that report after 9/11, we certainly, the U.S. government would have had drones up in the air looking for the nukes on the loose.
Yeah,
so
it's interesting. Yeah.
Point.
No, thank you very much for the perspective, Bill. I appreciate the phone call. Here's the other thing, though, but with the Ukraine thing, is we talk, my phone screener is frozen, if we can drop Bill. Ukraine's an ally of the United States, right? Like, we've been funding their absurd war with Russia for 3 years, billions and billions and billions of dollars. Why would a nuke from Ukraine come to the United States if we are under the assumption it's coming from anybody within Ukraine that's, you know, a part of the Zelensky regime or... you know, that doesn't make any sense to me, right? Like, wouldn't you expect it to be somebody that's not an ally of ours? Whether that's Iran, Russia, China, North Korea, somewhere in the Middle East?
Yeah.
Ukraine, of all places?
So one of our listeners tagged us in a tweet that Scott Adams had. And I want to get both of your theories on this. He says, my current drone theory, drones are the future of warfare. We expect a drone war soon in Iran or elsewhere. Our supply of drones far exceeds our supply of drone pilots. We need massive training and fast. It wouldn't make sense to train in a country where a downed drone could be captured and reverse engineered. Makes sense to train in America for that and other practical reasons.
Hmm.
The training is at night because the future missions will mostly be at night.
Okay.
The drones are so reliable, there is no risk of one crashing in an urban area. The military already routinely flies over populated areas.
I will say the one positive of everything that you just read, yeah, it does make sense, is, you know, and look, I'm anti-war, but war is inevitable. If the future of war is drones, and that means preserving human lives as far as our soldiers not being sent to die for the profit of warmongering pigs, I'm all for it.
Okay, so if that's the case, or it's this nuke warhead thing, or it's anything that the government is aware of, they're still lying to us.
Yes. Yes.
By omission.
Well, no.
Dawn, he said that John Kirby here.
What did he say?
Roll cut 25 again.
I am an expert in men lying by omission.
Sniff it out, Dawn. Go ahead. Launch your drone.
Roll John Kirby one more time because he said there's nothing nefarious here.
You hear all of these officials. You've heard a lot of concern, a lot of coverage. Where are you tonight on this?
As we look at the information we've got, Brett, and we've now examined some 5,000 different sightings, we've added detection capabilities, additional observers. As you and I stand here today, to date, our assessment is that this is lawful, legal, commercial, hobbyist, and even law enforcement aircraft activity. Some of it's manned, some of it's unmanned. We absolutely acknowledge that a lot of these are probably drones, but they're flying legally. And it is legal to fly drones in non-restricted airspace as long as you're registered with the FAA. And there's thousands and thousands of these kinds of flights every single day. I think there's more than a million drones that are registered with the FAA just in the United States alone.
See, he's saying that I stand here today, to date, our assessment is that this is lawful, legal, commercial, hobbyist, and even law enforcement aircraft
those
activity.
Those are the five words I wrote down as well.
Yeah. And even law enforcement activity. Then he said manned and unmanned.
So we have so we have commercial as in like Amazon mm-hmm. or Walmart. We have hobbyists as in like Mike Opelka, and we have law enforcement up there. He did not say anything about the federal government, unless
that's the federal government.
Law enforcement
is a yes. generic term.
Yep.
And when he said, and even, ... that's the tell. That's, you know what I mean? So he's not telling an untruth. Mm-hmm. He's saying the truth. And then he gives some stats. Well, there are millions of drones that are licensed, blah, blah, blah. So he's blobbing it. He's pushing it all in there, all in one.
Well,
the key phrase was, and even law enforcement.
Well, and he also says manned and unmanned.
Unmanned, yes.
So now, is manned mean somebody's on the ground with a remote control? What does manned mean? Because you can't physically sit in one of these drones, right? There's nobody actually up there. There's not a human being flying around.
No.
So manned and unmanned, assuming what then? We have a guy with a remote control on ground, and then we have a computer program unmanned that's just navigating with GPS, I would assume. I'd like to know what that specifically means. Manned and unmanned.
Is some of it
because
some
and the
AI?
Reason I ask about being up in the air is, again, you know, you have reported some of these drones are the size of SUVs.
To Dawn's point about guilt by omission, Soggy Donuts on the YouTube chat.
Love Soggy Donuts.
He hits the nail on the head. He said, the drones are ours and are safe. What they're looking for isn't.
Oh.
Right? So he's saying that you have nothing to worry about the drones itself. It's what they're
seeking out.
Yes.
Well, then he's of the belief that it's either a terrorist or a nuke. Right? Mm-hmm. It's either bad people or a bad object.
Well, they can't. So to go back to the original point, these drones at night they can't detect humans. They detect what I mean.
Well, then they're looking for a bomb.
But when I look up the definition, by the way, of unmanned, what do unmanned drones do? It's unmanned aerial vehicle. Okay, what do unmanned drones do? Military aircraft guided autonomously by remote control or both that carries sensors, target designators, offensive ordnance, or electronic transmitters designed to interfere with or destroy enemy targets. So that's the definition when I looked up what do unmanned drones do.
Well, here's the scariest part of all of this. If, in fact, these are federal government drones, seeking out some sort of mass destruction capable explosive device or whatever, nuke, a bomb, whatever you want to call it. Remember, this started November 18th. That's what should scare you, that the government's been looking for 30 days, still haven't found what they're looking for.
Larry sent me an email. This is, here's an answer to who's flying the drones. This is an ad somebody posted on our Facebook. Says, we are looking for full-time remote pilot operators, candidates to join the SAIC Controller Training Solutions Team at the Dallas TRACON D-10 in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, supporting air traffic controller training services for the Federal Aviation Administration. And they list the qualifications. You must be an American citizen.
My Michael would be great at this.
Experience working in multidisciplinary team, the experience and certification at ATC Tower, TRACON, or en route simulation lab is strongly encouraged.
Amazing to me we can find somebody from January 6th 4 years ago, but after a month we can't find a nuke.
God. Yeah. Ain't that something?
Well, you know, forget the trust in the federal government, which nobody has any of. It's the sheer incompetence. Like, you can't, a month now, and I get it. Some of the things we're seeing are airplanes. Some of the things we are seeing are hobbyists. It's not every single one that is seen is a federal government drone.
Yep.
But assuming that the federal government has been out there nightly with at least one drone, after 30 days, they still haven't found what they're looking for. I don't have a lot of faith in our federal government.
Let me do one more on the drones because, guys, I hate to tell you, but the cut sheet might take up the rest of the show. Because
that's fine with me.
I haven't even scratched the surface yet I still want to get to this alleged shooter that we talked about at the 6 o'clock hour. We have all kinds of audio reports on this, plus Trump's press conference at Mar-a-Lago. We still have all that coming up.
But by the way, I'm glad you mentioned Trump's press conference at Mar-a-Lago, because the Trump clip that we played about the drones was from Mar-a-Lago. And if you noticed, when they asked him the question, as soon as the word drone came out, Trump gave that little side grin snicker. Like, he knows that he's got way bigger fish to fry and more important things than these damn things flying around up in the air.
Yep.
That should also, maybe that should give us a little comfort.
Yep.
Right?
This is cut to Sean. This is drone expert Brett Volochevich. He says he's going to tell you that we're never going to know what's happening with the drones.
I tend to agree with that.
Roll that, Sean.
Harris, hundreds of people from all around the world have been sending me photos and videos of these sightings, but I'm going to tell you a secret. We are not ever going to know what happened here because the U.S. government has zero clue how to handle drone threats in our airspace right now and has zero will to change anything about it. We are no longer in control of our own airspace. And it's this foreign concept to think our government doesn't know what's going on because, look, we are a powerful country, but I'm sorry to tell you, the truth is they really don't know what's going on because we no longer dominate the world in drone technology. We used to own the drone market globally. When I used Predators and Reapers, you know, drones to hunt terrorists globally, no one made better drone technology than us, but not anymore. We're no longer in control over our airspace. And that's what these drone sightings in New Jersey are proving. The technology does exist to track this. But the reason the U.S. government doesn't have answers for you is because they don't know how to detect, deter, and mitigate drones in our own cities. They act like they have it handled, but they don't. And we've been telling senior leaders in the FAA, the FBI, DHS for years about this problem, and it's got to change. I'm so tired of the U.S. government dragging their feet on bringing our country up to speed. And look, this is a I'm sending a public service announcement to Kaj Patel. I know he has a long list of things to do at the FBI and transform them, but I want him to know that the drone department in the FBI headquarters and the drone office in the FAA, they need a complete overhaul. They have put in policies that have been responsible for this confusion and setting the conditions for gaps in our own defenses. Those leaders in there, they need to be fired and start bringing in the real experts who actually can come in and bring the proper counter drone detection technology, the electronic warfare systems, and give people the right authorization to detect this, because this is just completely getting out of hand.
By the way, some of that footage that you were seeing there on YouTube is from a person that lives in Lancaster, PA, so kind of a local tie to that. But here's the thing. It's, to quote Dawn, it's a sin. It's a sin that we have lost the technology.
I don't know. Have we really lost it?
I think
when
China's
I look it up, United States, largest military drone fleet in the world, more than 13,000 unmanned aerial vehicles. U.S. Air Force operates a variety of drones, the MQ-9 Reaper, the MQ-1C Gray Eagle, and the RQ-4 Global Hawk.
So, if we got into a war today, the United States against China, who are you betting on?
The United States.
I'm betting on China. I think FanDuel has them as a small favorite. But no, I agree with the story of we'll never find out what this was. And I already know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
The drone sightings will slowly fall off. It'll stop being covered in the media. And is it because the government truly is not able to figure out what it is or what they're trying to look for and they can't find out the answer? Yeah, perhaps. But I ultimately think it'll be because the government doesn't want us to know.
Yeah. All right, let's come back and do the alleged school shooter, Trump's press conference at Mar-a-Lago. Will Laura Trump get the Senate seat in Florida? We're gonna
probably.
Let's dissect all of that on the other side.
All right, Kale and Company, as we continue 8 o'clock hour, brought to you by the good folks at Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
The college football playoff is here, and it's coming up this Friday and Saturday. You don't want to miss a moment of the action with the new 12-team format, guaranteed to be bigger and better than ever. The college football playoff, presented by Allstate, begins with 4 first-round games Friday, December 20th, and then a triple header on Saturday, December 21st, on ESPN, ABC, TNT, and Max. Kale and Company, back after this.
When it comes to your home, trust is everything. And for 45 years now, Kitchen Magic has built quite a reputation for transforming kitchens with such precision and care. From the custom cabinets to the countertops, backsplashes to storage solutions, they do everything in-house themselves and take such pride in their work. Local company, local employer, and Kitchen Magic gets the job done fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without the hassle. You can trust the name your neighbors have been relying on for decades, Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation, kitchenmagic.com. Put this on the calendar, kitchenmagic.com. Let's cook up something extraordinary. Tell them Dawn sent you.
FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is America's number one sportsbook. It has all your favorite bets, from who will win the game to how many points a player will score. Plus, you can check out newer bets like the number of dunks, assists, or three-pointers in the next 3 minutes. It doesn't matter if you tap into the FanDuel app before the game starts or after it has already tipped off. You can win and pick up a W whenever. And now is the perfect time to get in on the action, because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg for a chance to score $150 in bonus bets. FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of the NBA and 1210 WPHD. 21 and over, President PA. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Biggity big maker of drones in the world is Chinese military company DJI. And just in late October of this year, our very own Congresswoman Elise Stefanik had released statements about a Barack Obama era attorney general. You may remember his attorney general, Loretta Lynch.
Yep.
So she accused Lynch of turning her back on the nation, selling out to our greatest adversary, communist China, suing the U.S. on behalf of CCP-owned drone company DJI, which is the largest in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so talking about that, but suing the U.S. Department of Defense so that because they don't want us to use their technology anymore. Because we stopped like in, I don't know, the teens. It was like the 15, 16, 17, somewhere in there. We said that we're going to stop doing business with them because these drones, they realize, create some issues if we just are using their technology.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me is timely. The fact that this happened October 21st, she releases a statement about Loretta Lynch.
Yep.
And within less than a month, we have all these stories about drones.
Mm-hmm.
So does I think this all goes together.
I think this is why Trump should extend the invitation to Xi for the inauguration.
Yeah.
And when they have a moment behind closed doors, he looks him dead in the eye and he says, "What do you know about the drones?"
Speaking of Trump, he gave that press conference yesterday at Mar-a-Lago at the lunchtime hour. And he was asked about if he expects Ron DeSantis to a
mustard.
Point, thank you, to appoint Lara Trump to Marco Rubio's Senate seat. We know Marco Rubio will be most definitely confirmed as the Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
This is cut 13, Phil, because we're going to, or Sean, because we have the, we have him, what he said, and then Lara Trump was on with Jesse Waters last night, what she said. Let's start with Trump. Go.
Ron DeSantis to appoint Lara Trump to Senator Marco Rubio's seat?
No, I don't. I probably don't, but I don't know.
Mm.
Ron's doing a good job. That's his choice. Nothing to do with me.
DeSantis.
Laura's unbelievable. I mean, she was incredible. The job she did at the RNC as chairman, along with Michael Whatley.
Whatley, yeah.
The combination. But I can just speak for Laura. She is so highly respected by women. I mean, even her workout routines are through the roof. She lifts 150 pounds. I don't know how the hell she does it. She's a bad example for men and women. Because I wouldn't be able to beat her, I don't believe. I'd try like hell. But, no, she's an incredible woman. And, you know, it's funny. People oftentimes talk about nepotism. I never had. When I put her there, people said, how did you get her to do it? You know, she could have run for the Senate in North Carolina. Ted Budd would be the first to say. And he wouldn't have run. Nobody would have run. And she just said, no, I want to really focus on my children. When the election and
there you go.
All right. So I wanted to actually bring Harry Enten and a tweet that he put out into the equation to kind of answer this question about Lara Trump filling Rubio's seat and whether or not that would happen, the relationship between Trump and DeSantis. I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't really move me one way or the other. But Harry Enten makes a great point. And it doesn't mean that it will be Lara Trump. In fact, I would bet against it being her. But Harry Enten tweeted, it's Trump's party and his GOP opponents can cry if they want to. Almost all GOP who voted to impeach or convict Trump are now gone from Congress. 96% of GOP voters approve of the presidential transition, which is up 16 points from when he started in January of 2017. And all 2028 GOP frontrunners for the presidency are MAGA Republicans. So, you know, like, you say, okay, and here's the reason why I'm reading this tweet. 96%. So the days of kind of the establishment, rhino, swamper, basically Harry Enten is saying, and I agree with this, is Trump has weeded out a lot of these people. So whether you're talking about filling a seat in the House or filling a seat in the Senate with, you know, quote unquote, a Trump family member or anything like that under the nepotism umbrella. To me, I don't think that's a battle that's even worth fighting and waging between what DeSantis sees happening in his own state versus what Trump's aspiration is. And does Lara Trump really want it? That's the ultimate question.
Well, all right, let's,
I think she
you
does.
Think she does?
Okay, before you give your opinion, Don, let's do cut 23 here. This is what Lara Trump said on Jesse Waters' program last night. Roll it.
Your name came up today. Let's listen.
Do you expect Ron DeSantis to appoint Lara Trump to Senator Marco Rubio's seat?
No, I don't. I probably don't, but I don't know. Ron's doing a good job. That's his choice. Nothing to do with me. Laura's unbelievable. I mean, she was incredible. The job she did at the RNC as chairman, along with Michael Whatley, the combination. But I can just speak for Laura. She is so highly respected by women. I mean, even her workout routines are through the roof.
I've seen the workout routines on Instagram. I'm not getting involved. Let's just put it that way. It looks too hard for me. But are you intrigued with being in the Senate?
Yeah, I think he told everybody that I can lift 150 pounds, which I guess it depends what kind of workout it is. But yeah, that is true as well. Yes, of course. I first of all, Jesse, I'm totally honored by everything my father-in-law said today. was incredibly nice to say about me. And I had a great team at the RNC to work alongside me. We are very proud of all that we did. And of course, this election. But certainly, the fact that my name has been mentioned among many other very qualified, very highly regarded people as a potential fit for this Senate seat that will be vacant by Marco Rubio when he's confirmed as our next Secretary of State. Yes, it's very intriguing. And I'm seriously considering it. I have not been asked yet by Ron DeSantis, but as you heard from Donald Trump there, it is up to him ultimately.
Ron has always been a loser.
So, Dawn, your thought. So you genuinely think she, let me ask you this.
She just said yes.
She did clarify there. So
she said yes.
I would argue that she's more, think about the great job that she did, Michael Whatley, all the way down to the Scott Presslers of the world. I would say that she's more valuable as the head of the RNC than having
one. No, she stepped down already. She stepped down. She's done. She did that job.
You wouldn't want her in that role again?
She wants to be Senator Trump. Mm. She's had ambitions for a long time, and he brought up North Carolina.
Yeah.
Because remember, she was interested in that one. So, no, she's totally interested in this. She's had her eye on that ball. And by the way, when Trump says, well, it has nothing to do with me, but then he goes on to remind everybody that, that you'd have a woman. He reminds everybody that they've got two men, Senator. You know, why don't you have a woman, and how great she is, and what a great job she did, and
how
popular she is with women.
It's what Rick Scott and Marco Rubio, technically, right?
So why not put a strong woman? Women like her.
Well, I mean,
he was. You know, he says, "Oh, it has nothing to do with me." But wow, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, currently the senator's from Florida.
She totally wants it.
You think?
She totally wants it.
Ron DeSantis is not going to put her in. I'm telling you right now.
But she wants it.
Of course she does. But Ron DeSantis will not put her in. He might make a play for it himself. I mean, seriously.
Wow.
His term's up soon, isn't it?
Yeah, 2026. It'll be timed out. 8 years.
Yeah.
Goes by fast. I'm going to miss Mustard.
Who would you want there?
Well, that's what I'm looking for right now. I'm trying to search of who these other options would be. It's not going to be like an Ashley Moody. She's not going to leave the AG spot at the state level. Byron Donalds is in Congress. There's a lot of speculation that Byron Donalds might be the front runner for governor in 2026.
Yeah.
Which not that I can vote, but I would totally co-sign that one. I like Byron Donalds a lot. By the way, DeSantis, I saw yesterday, there was a story out from Politico about who the top front runners are for 2028, and they give DeSantis like a 9% chance. Like, it would be it's JD Vance in a landslide.
First of all, wait, hang on.
Unless he just totally falls over.
Before we say this, we have no idea what 2028 is going to bring.
I know.
Like, come on.
I know.
We should break here though, because I still want to get to, are you okay with us just keep rolling with this? Because I still, like, I have all these cuts left from the press conference. I want to get back into the alleged shooter there in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah, we can do all of that. I'm also going to find some names here in the next 5 minutes during our break.
You're going to do a power ranking?
You know, I'm just going to find out some names that could replace Rubio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. While you're doing that, Dawn, stay right there. This segment brought to you by Budget Blinds. It's the holiday season. Budget Blinds is your one-stop shop for blind shades, shutters, custom drapery, and motorization. Yes, the motorization is key. Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation and the only no-questions-asked warranty in the business. Schedule your holiday consultation. Ask about their special radio offer. I've done it. You should do it. Budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation. Dawn, talk to us about what a crock.
Yeah. So right now it's crazy, right? We're in the thick of getting ready for the holidays. Christmas and Hanukkah are going to happen. They're going to be here on our doorstep before we know it. My house, we're in chaos. Yesterday I had the jury duty. I was off work. Then I snuck over to Macy's. Didn't have time for dinner. But What a Crock once again saved me yesterday with grandma's homemade meatballs. Larry was like, these are delicious. These are the best meatballs you've ever made in your life. There's these huge, scrumptious, delicious meatballs in a homemade sauce from my grandma's or somebody's grandma's recipe, but not mine. WhatACrock.com. Thank you. They've always got me covered for gifts, my own inconvenience. Whatacrock.com's delicious, easy to prep meal make it so simple. I just literally plop one of their meals into my slow cooker in the morning, go about my day. When I come home, dinner is simmering. And unlike most meal kit companies, and this is critical, there is zero prep required at all. No chopping, none of that stuff. And cleanup, boop, clean, so quick and easy. It's just so simple. So there's no subscription, no commitment required. You can do a subscription if you want, but it's not required. That's what I love about it too. And you can order what you want when you want it. What a Crock meals also make for excellent gifts this time of year. You can still send. And right now you get $25 in What a Crock cash for every $50 worth of gift cards purchased. So give the gift of an easy dinner. Trust me, it's delicious. It's so convenient. It's going to rescue you just like it did for me last night. And you get a little back for yourself. So no promo code required. This deal lasts until midnight tonight. So I want you to go on there. I was just on there during the last commercial break buying up some gifts. So whatacrock.com, do it.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.